003. Okay.
Perek Asiri, page Kuf Chof, last Perek in Charabonos of Kim. We'll start from 6 lines down from Omer HaSeichel at the beginning of Perek Asiri. 6 lines down. He's going through different midos, extremes, and when a person should use each one. Hashem created these midos as the servants of a person, as the mishamshim of a person, and a person is supposed to pull out, even though it seems to us their emotions, which are reactive. We react to events with emotions. So the Chacham Vav is saying that's not the case at all. We're in control of these things, and we have to control them, and we have to pull them out and use them when they're appropriate. And different midos, and he told, there's really no such thing as a midah raw. In an ideal world, in an ideal sense, in a very purified laboratory conditions, there's no such thing as a midah raw. Everything can be used l'tov, and everything can be used l'ra. And you control them, and you master them. So now he goes through, in Perek Asiri, various midos, contrasts, which negdios, midos that are almost opposites, and he tells you when to use each one. So we're going to start again on page Kuf Chof, Perek Asiri of Shara Bodes Elokim, 6 lines down from the bottom, if of Omar HaSeichel paragraph, U'mechal midol sayich, the nefesh is talking to the seichel, and he's saying, shtei midos, there are 2 midos, v'heim hachashash, being fearful, being worried, v'hatikva, and being hopeful. You could say pessimistic and optimistic. Oh, it's better to, I think it's more correct to say being fearful, being nervous, worrying. And before we had simcha and sadness. Now we have worrying and tikva, being hopeful, looking at the brighter side of things, looking forward to something, anticipating something. So when do you use your midah of being fearful, of being nervous, of being afraid, of being worried? So he says, what the Chavis of Ovis is going to say, is that there's really nothing to ever be afraid of or worried about, except for one thing. So we'll get to that except, but first we'll talk about what he's saying. He's about to say that there's really nothing, like a person will say, you know, oh yeah, I'm worried I'm not going to get that job. I'm worried I'm going out with this person, they're not going to want to marry me. I'm worried I'm not going to be accepted and I'm not going to get into this yeshiva. I'm worried that I'm not going to be successful at my job. Like all these things, he says, well, really, you shouldn't be worried. You should be talking to Hashem, who says it's good for you for that to happen. You think that's great if that happens. So you're worried if it doesn't happen. But who says it's good for you to happen? And we're going to look at the Lashonos of the Chavis Halvavos. You learn it carefully and you'll see that he really addresses these points. The point of who says it's good for you. Maybe you'll end up unhappy. You know, many people have worked very hard to get a certain job or worked very hard to accomplish a certain task or to live in a certain neighborhood or to be in a certain school, and then they end up miserable. I mean, you couldn't write the book big enough to fill the book, to fill the pages of people who ended up messing themselves up because they had this will-o'-the-wisp wish, you know, and they had to get there. So he says, you know, if you have the attitude that we'll be learning about, we've learned about, Shara Bitachon. I'm not saying we're going to learn Shara Bitachon next time. We have to decide. But I have to decide. No democracies here. So, you have bitachon, and you're allowed to work towards a certain goal. That's how a person lives. But don't worry. That's the point. This midah, don't use for those things. He's going to tell you in a second why Hashem created the midah of worrying, of being nervous, of anticipating, like, in a fearful way. So he says, look how he says it. He says it beautifully. He says, "V'yinemokam achashash," the role that chashash plays, so when should you pull it out and use it? Hashem gave you this tool. What am I supposed to be nervous about? What am I supposed to be What am I supposed to worry about? He says, "Imhoya matzavech, if your situation may be lidei matzav hametzair osach, if you know for sure that it'll, so you should only be fearful and worried if you know for sure that something is no good for you. A, the einech, so you can see what he's contrasting it to. So if you think about all the things that people worry about, you see they don't meet this criterion. Because, again, like I said, you have to know for sure it's going to bring you to a situation that's going to be bad for you. So you say, oh boy, that cuts out 95% of my worrying. Who says that's going to be bad for me? Maybe Adarabba. Maybe what I want is going to be bad for me, and what I don't want is going to be good for me. I don't know. I don't really know. I just know what I want. I don't know what I need, and I don't know what's good for me. A person only knows what he wants. I was telling someone this week, I was sitting with someone, with a kid. I said, you know, this is what you want. Who says this is what you need? If you just change that verb, your whole life's going to change from top to bottom. If you change want to need. So the real word want in proper English really means need. Because you say want. So it's really like, it's really not so far apart. The word want really means your chaser. They use it in fancy English. You say, I'm wanting, for want of a nail, the shoe was lost. It's such an expression. Wanting really means to be chaser. But we won't go into that now. The point is, so that's number one. Number two is, ve'enech merutzo mitachliso. And you should only be fearful of something that you know will make you unhappy. Right? People think many things. The first point was if it's really good or bad for you. Now he's saying even if it'll make you happy, you end up doing something, you end up acquiring what you want, and it ends up making you miserable. I'm sure we could all point to something within the last 48 hours that we wanted, and we got it, and it made us miserable. And next, what are you worried about? You know, you're sitting there worrying. So go do something about it. Get off your chair and go avoid it. Make sure it doesn't happen. So what are you worrying for? So you're only going to worry about something that you know is bad for you, that you know will make you unhappy, and that you can't avoid. Period. So all the Mefarshim say that the Chaim Salvador has just boxed us into a corner. And the only thing you should be worried about is not being successful in your Avodas Hashem, not accomplishing what you were put on this world to accomplish, not doing what's pleasing in Hashem's eyes. That's all you should be worried about. Because that, Taka, will lead you to something that's a bad situation that you surely don't want, what awaits you at the great Beis Din in heaven. You surely don't want an unfavorable psak there. Here, right, we all know someone that's waiting for a psak, and he's worried. The guy's a tzaddik. You think, okay, like, what's the worst that can happen? And then you think about the worst that can happen, and you say, okay, you know, I'll survive that. I'm still going to be alive. In fact, maybe I'll finish Shas if I have enough time where I have nothing else to do. I was talking to him today. He said, you know, I'll get chavrusas. He's picking the one he wants if it happens. I don't like when he talks that way, but he says, you know, I'll pick the one, because there's a lot of learning going on in a particular prison. So he says, I'll go to that one, and I'll accomplish quite a bit. You know, we were talking. So he's not that worried. Okay, you know, obviously, But you think about the Beis Din after 120 years, you got what to worry about. And you know it's going to make you extremely unhappy, and probably hot to boot. Yeah. And there's nothing you can do to avoid it. You can't bribe anyone. You can't avoid it. So that's how the Mefarshim explain what the Chaim Salvovitz is saying. He's ending up saying, there's really nothing to worry about except that you're not doing what you're supposed to do in this world. Whether you're going to get the job, whether you're going to be hot or cold or successful, or get what you want, or avoid what you want. It's really nothing to worry about. You can either take steps to avoid it. You know in the back of your mind, that what's going to happen is good for you. That's bitachon. Why do I say in the back of your mind? Because a person is allowed to strive and attempt to acquire things that are ostensibly good. Hashem doesn't want you to be poor. He wants you to go get a job, earn money, and you could even try to be rich. Not a problem. Be successful at what you do. That's a good midah, and you're supposed to try. What? You're not supposed to what? Successful. I changed the word to successful. You want to be successful at what you do. If you're successful, you become rich. Meila, that's a totsah. But you're supposed to be successful at what you do. You know, you're not supposed to be a schlepper. You're supposed to do a good job of what you do and be successful. So the point is, I think, but a Jew walks around in the back of his mind that he's not worried. That's the point. Because he knows in the back of his mind, it doesn't work out. For sure, that's what's best for him. And he knows everything's going to be good. That's what bitachon's all about. Now, look at the flip side. And what should you be happy about? What should you anticipate? What should you look forward to? What should you be hopeful for? So it's just the flip side. Don't be that hopeful you're going to get the job. That's not, it shouldn't fanem your whole essence. It shouldn't, like, you know, enwrap you. And that's, you know, what is the Lashon HaPosuk? Mechalo Seinayim Umedivos Nofesh. That's all you can think about, and that's all you're focused on, and you don't eat, and you don't sleep, and you're just focused on, you know, getting the goal, reaching the goal line. And look how every phrase is the flip side of what we just said. The only thing you should really anticipate and look forward to and be hopeful about is when you're involved in something hagoramim lehetiv elayich, that you know for sure that the end result is good, because you can work your whole life and reach a certain goal and it's bad. So what did you look forward to? A person looks forward his whole life to being rich, and he works and he becomes rich, then he retires to Florida and he plays, what's that called?
Shuffleboard.
That's what he was looking forward to. There's a good joke I once saw. I'm certainly not going to get it right, but I'll say it. A guy goes and he sees someone fishing. So he says, what do you do? He says, I fish all day. He says, what are you, a butler? So he says, what do you do? He says, I'm the president of a company. I make cars. You know? So he says, what are you going to do? He says, I'll become rich. What are you doing? I'm going to buy houses. I'm going to have money. And what are you going to do? Then I'm going to retire. So what are you doing? I'm going to go fishing. He says, I'm fishing now. What do you look forward to? You never heard the joke? I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to hear it from me. I'm not a good storyteller. Okay, so then he says, think about it though, there's a lot of truth in that joke. The ligrum, that's al-toimelech she'efna efna, shem eloi tipone. You can do things now. Everybody, you know, you wait till your whole life's in place, and then you run a lot of, you can run out of time, at Rabosai. And you know for sure it'll be pleasurable for you, that it will make you happy. That's the contrast to the phrase we had before, the Ein Amarutza Mitachliso, right, two lines back. And then the Ein Moneah Sheyimnach Mikach, no one's going to stop that Tova from coming to you. Below Siba Shetochut Bado, nothing's going to be a Mechitza, nothing's going to prevent it from coming. So what's that? So obviously there's only one thing that meets those criteria. So that's anticipate doing mitzvahs. Plan on doing Ratzon Hashem. Plan on fulfilling what you were put into this world for. Then you know you have something good to look forward to, something pleasurable, something that's nitzchius. Nobody can take it away from you. You could put it in the bank, as we say, even though what's a bank, right? A bank. But that's our lotion for something that's for sure. We used to say the golden Fort Knox when I was a kid. That's what we used to talk about as a sure thing. Okay.
Mitzvahs are a sure thing for that, except for learning.
When you do, any mitzvah you do is a sure credit that's going to get you a piece of Olam Haba, get you closer to Hashem, and that's anything good you do. You shouldn't worry that your mitzvahs are flawed, again, because that takes you away from the goal.
So the end goal of any particular mitzvah may not be your simcha, or it may not be.
But that's what you should be mekaveh to do. That's what you should look forward to do.
Okay.
You get up in the morning, a person could look forward to that first cup of coffee, or he could look forward to davening.
Well,
I won't ask you which it is.
But
if you want your first cup of coffee in order to make a bracha with kavana,
right,
because such a geshmaka cup of coffee, then that's the chayvus halvados. That's what we say around twice a week. Twice a shiur, we say. Then you've turned the cup of coffee into ruchnius. You've turned the cup of coffee
that's
into
amazing.
A one. Then you can look forward to the cup of coffee already. If it gets you two brachas. Well, it depends how you drink it for the bracha achrayna. That's okay, another topic. Okay, let's go weiter. Ubechlal midos ayach shtei midos. And now we go on to the next two. Ha'ometz, courage, the hamorech, and the cowardice. Not fear in the sense of cowardice. You know, being afraid, not afraid in the sense of fear, but afraid in the sense of being terikotzeigen, cowardice. You don't have the moral strength to do something. So you, but you use it. These are midos you pull out of your quiver when it's time to use it. V'hinei mokom shimush ha'ometz, when do you use your courage and strength or courage? The gisha, now he translates it as laharigas oive Hashem. That's kind of an extreme translation, although certainly when it comes to Amalek and Zion Umos, when it comes to David fighting the Goliaths and the Plishtim, certainly, I mean, there's a lot of Altira Mayhem. Certainly, there is an aspect of Hariga Soyve Hashem, but he means it really, the other translation just says fighting. Well, we're held in by Hanukkah now, the Chashmonaim certainly have to have the Ometz to fight, and they had to have the Ometz to kill. And the omits to wage war. But the other translations just say, push up to fight and to argue. You have to have courage. You can't take a back seat when Oyvei Hashem are on the move. You have to be able, you have to take a stand. Sometimes you have to take a stand. You can't cower in the corner. Sometimes you have to take a stand and you have to pull out that midah then, even if it's not in your nature. You say, oh, it's not my nature, I'm a meek kind of guy. No such thing. You pull out meekness when you need it, and you pull out courage and omets when you need that. When else? So to fight Oyvei Hashem. When else? For Haseva, listen to this, you have to pull out courage. You have to be very brave. People who lived through the Holocaust and maintained their emunah, you have to be very brave to remain faithful when there's nisyonos, when things in life are difficult, when you think Hashem's against you, and it's really just an nisyon. V'haseivel, and to be seivel, to be able to bear, thank you, to be able to bear kabbalos kol itzavon, no matter what happens to you, you can't become broken. So what midah do you have to have? That's courage, that's inner courage. Not the courage of the first phrase was the courage of going out and fighting and arguing and taking a stand and maybe even being public when it's necessary. But now he's talking about inner courage, moral strength, that you're not broken. A person should never become depressed. We're talking about now, if a person gets clinically depressed, it could be his annoyance, he can't help it. We're talking about, but people become clinically depressed, and they, not as a machla, that they can't help, they become clinically depressed as a bechira. They choose, you know, you don't feel like getting better at it in the morning. You can't face life. You just don't feel like doing anything. So that's courage, that's ometz, that you have to. That's the strength that the Chayyus Haldodah says Hashem created, that inner strength, courage, so that a person should not be despoiled no matter what happens to him. So, you know we're sitting pretty here, and the worst thing that ever happened to us is my place, the steam broke, and there was no heat for 2 days, or the air conditioner broke, it's worse, in Beit Shemesh at least. But, people lived through the Holocaust, and many people lost their emunah, and many people became mischazik in their emunah. So that's, where does that come from? You have to be able to call upon the midah of ometz when things are happening that are very, that could break a person. Kol itzavon, sadness, You can't fall into depression. There's no excuse for it. Hashem doesn't, it's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to take it on the chin and go weiter. Tomorrow's another day. You have to deal with it. You have to cope with it. You have to decide what to do. The chol nisayon. For all you know, it's a nisayon. How's a person, people have yisurim. People have unpleasant things happen to them, very unpleasant things, and it's a nisayon. You don't know. And Laman Ratzon Hashem Yisala. It could be a nisayon to see, right? So you have to be able to bear it. You have to be able to deal with it. One of the ways of dealing with something is to say, oh, maybe it's a nisayon. Maybe it's a kaparas averis. I don't understand what Hashem is doing, but it's part of life, and I know it's from Hashem, so I'm going to deal with it. You can't just throw up your hands and give up and be meek. And the meek of courage, that you face adversity. You're facing adversity is the courage. That's when you pull that out. Leman Ritzon Hashem Yisal. And then he says an interesting thing. He says, Leman Ritzon Chasidov. So I'm not sure if he Poshut means the Rabbonons. Even for the mitzvahs, the Rabbonon, not just Ritzon Hashem. But it's more likely he means Poshut, your Rebbe, or the Torah leaders of Klal Yisrael, or of your community. The flow of the words, Laman Ritzon Hashem Yisrael, Laman Ritzon Chasidah. It's interesting he should put that in. Like, obviously, the Chazal considers it so fundamental that he put it in. That you have to be able to have the courage to do things, I guess, that you don't understand sometimes when they're gepaskin for you. And it takes an omets. You know, people think, and sometimes it's true, that it's a meekness and an unwarranted submissiveness to just follow like sheep or like being robotic when you're told to do something. Sometimes that's true. I mean, only Hashem is Yodei Alaleva, but sometimes it takes a tremendous courage to hold fakert and to think it's wrong, but to follow a certain path because your Rebbe or your mentor or your God or the leader of a rabbin, they paskin that you should do something, they hold you should do something. It takes a tremendous courage to follow them. So that's what the Chayim of us are saying. That's an omitz. That's not a meekness. When it's someone that's muhsuk to be the Talmud Chacham, to be a leader, or he's your leader, then it takes a tremendous omitz to follow that person. And then and he puts it in here in a description of when you have to pull out that midah. It must be a very fundamental, very important. K'moshe Ne'emar, he brings on the pasuk in Tehillim, Ki Alecha Horagnu Kol Hayom Nechshavnu Katzon Tivcha. But you deal with it, you accept it. The Omar. And this is keneged really Ritzon Chasidot, because the pasuk is Yehomeini Tzadik. Yehomeini means like to hit me, to strike me. So the Tzadik strikes me, but it's Chesed. I know, I believe, I act that it's Chesed. It's good for me, and I just follow him, or I take it, whatever. Hit doesn't have to mean physical hitting, of course. It means he directs me in a way I don't want to go. He makes things hard for me. But I believe that it's chesed v'yochi cheni. Sometimes it's musr, sometimes it's tochacha. Sometimes he's directing me a certain way to teach me a lesson. So it's interesting that the Chayim Shalvodas puts both Ratzon Hashem and Ratzon Chasidov when he's explaining the midah of omitz. So they have the omets to fight Oive Hashem, and the omets to withstand adversity, both in the form of yisurin, of difficulties, in the form of something that would normally break a person, that you don't get broken, and poshut v'nisyonos, to be able to deal with things, and then be omet v'nisyon. So you have to have a courage, the courage of your principles, it's called. Everybody has principles when it's not Negea, but are your principles, right? That's called courage. that you're ready to stand up for your principles, even at personal sacrifice. So the Chafetz Chaim says that if your boss wants you to talk Lashon Hara, you have to get fired, because if it's just in a place where it's inevitable that you'll have to talk and hear Lashon Hara, or believe Lashon Hara. Hearing is maybe a shayla. If you ask a shayla, if it's just hearing, but you're able to not believe it, you ask a shayla. But for any lav, people don't think, I once mentioned it in Russia, people don't realize the enormity. For a lav, you have to give up all of your money. Anything short of sakonos nefashos, you have to give up all of your money. You know what a nisayon that would be? So that's called having the courage of your principles. That's called omets. So everybody's, there's a fashion, a tzaddik can tell, so everybody's, Mishburg once used that phrase in an essay of his, right? Right? Am I right? Yeah. Tzaddik and Pelts? I remember that essay.
But it's not my,
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I didn't think it was. You don't know Yiddish. So, that's why it's important to learn Musar. Because when you learn Musar, or Hashkafa, a person can have certain principles. We don't know. How would we have... Who could stand up and say that in the time of the Hanukkah story, now we know who the good guys and who the bad guys are. So we all wear the mantle of the Chashmonon, and we eat Sukkoniyot, and we light the candles, and we're hot shots. Are you ready? Are you so... really, we could think about this. You could discuss it with your kids. And that first half hour, that crucial half hour. Are we so sure that we're so into Shabbos even? We're so into anything, How many times, no one's looking and the whole meal's going to be ruined. You just have to move a little muktza and there's no one watching you. Not so simple. You could laugh at me if you want. Not so simple. The whole... You're not allowed to. Are we so sure how we would have acted in the time of the Chashmonaim? It's not poshut. It's not poshut at all. You have to learn Musar and you have to develop. If they ask me how, I don't know. Offhand, I don't have a short answer for that. How do you develop the courage of your principles? How do you make sure that your principles are so firm that when it comes to a nisayon and you're faced with getting fired from a job, or you're faced with various pressures, and you're able to say no, this is what's right and this is what's wrong, and I'm going to stand up for what's right and wrong. This is courage. This is omets, and it's something you have to develop. You have to learn Musar and Hashkofa, and I don't know if that's enough. Even I don't know how you develop courage. You have to know. It's a very hard thing to develop a program where that, because the midah of omets is a separate midah. A person can learn Musar and be convinced, and then he melts when he's faced with pressure. He melts. He can't stand the pressure. We all know people who have said at one time or another, I can't take the pressure. I can't take the pressure. I can't take it. You can't be on with Minasayon. I don't know. You have to develop. It's a midah. The midah of omets has to be developed. You have to think. Maybe you have to think about schar va'onesh. You have to think about what it means. You have to think about being erlich. What erlichkeit means, as opposed to frumkeit. Erlichkeit means this omets, being consistent. Okay, so that's the midah of omets. That it's again, all midahs have to be worked on. Nothing, there's no freebies. So you have to work on omets too. And the chanami. So it's on the list of midos. On that list of 100 some odd midos that we found in Rabbi Pliskin's Sefer. So I'm sure courage is on that list. And strength, inner strength, moral strength. And it's something to work on. So it's something that you have automatically. Right? So that's omets. And the opposite is of a mokam hamorech. When do you pull out morech? When do you pull out submissiveness? When do you pull out meekness? That you don't open your mouth and you're quiet and you just listen to what the other person says and you go along with it? Oh, harei be'es hagisha. Again, he says, laro. kind of a little weird, this translation, but lilochem is a, when someone wants you, you know, chasidei Hashem, anchei mishmato, and so it's, there's a group of people that are fighting them, that are resisting them, and they, so then you should take a back seat. Don't use your meat. You don't have to be the mechutzef that stands up and fights the war. You can take a back seat and just, adarav, you're supposed to use the meat of omitz maybe to fight them, but he's not talking about that now. Now he's just talking about, he's not talking about a person that's holding by fighting them. He's just talking about you're part of a group. So now you pull out, you don't have to always, why do you have to be the spokesman for? If there's something not so good happening, so that's what Owen Ben Pelas's wife told Owen Ben Pelas. She said, what do you have to be in the forefront of this fight for? You know, and she talked him into it. She said, you know, you're not going to gain anything by this. Take a back seat. She told him to go to sleep. You need a nap. Tell Korach you need a nap. And that's what she did. She saved his life. That's the wife of Owen Ben Pelas. She saved his whole nitzchias by talking him into being meek, by being a chicken, by being a coward. What does he have to go fight for? She didn't tell him Moshe Rabbeinu's right and Korach's wrong and you got to be frum. She did this. She told him to use the midah of morech. She told him to be a chicken and be afraid. Well, what does he need it for? He should go to sleep. So he went to sleep and she saved his life. Okay. Thank you.